lifestyle morally. And Jesus completely set her free from alcohol and drugs. He healed her heart. She's, and the best part is not just that she is set free, but she now spends her time in counseling people out of addiction. And it's such a great testimony of God. He does change lives. Jesus, anybody can change, and Jesus is the greatest change agent the world has ever known. And that was such a sweet testimony. Those kinds of things happen here. We're so grateful. That's why we're here. That's what we're all about. Hey, I want to tell you a funny story before we talk about the Prince of Peace. Jack had been a compulsive worrier for years, to the point it was ruining his entire life. He then saw a psychologist who recommended a specialist who could help him. His friend Bob noticed a dramatic change and asked, "What happened? Nothing seems to worry you anymore." "Well, I hired a professional worrier, and I haven't had a worry since," replied Jack. "Well, that must be expensive," Bob replied. "Oh, yeah, he charges $5,000 a month," Jack told him. "$5,000 a month? How in the world could you afford him?" exclaimed Bob. "I don't know. That's his problem." Okay. Honey, I'm going to blame you for that joke. And okay. Jesus, one of the great pronouns, one of the great titles of Christ is Prince of Peace. We're going to talk about that today. Jesus, our Prince of Peace. That's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. "For unto us," here's the prophecy, "a millennia before Christ, hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, here comes the prophetic word about who he'd be, what he'd do. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord will perform this." Father, we thank you for your word. As we celebrate your son, the gift of your love, we celebrate the difference, the transformation of our lives through Jesus. And Lord, today I pray that you would anoint your word, your servant, and your people, and all those here and with listening in the future, anoint us with the power of your peace. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Amen. I love this. So all of these titles are beautiful descriptions of who Jesus is and the ministry he has for us. "For unto us is born this glorious child, this wonderful Savior. His name will be called," and here we have the beautiful expression, "his name will be called Wonderful." Everybody say wonderful. His name is Wonderful. And in the Hebrew language, the word wonder is a phenomenal word. It means something beyond comprehension, something beyond human experience, something that is from another realm. And as I experience, it blossoms my heart to wonder, to express a worship based on the wonder of God. I promise you, people, I remember I've had so many conversations with folks about heaven. "Well, God, sounds so boring, a cloud, a harp. What do we do for down?" You know, I say, "You don't understand. God is so wonder-filled that there'll be a constant expression of our worship as we encounter in every moment a new aspect of his person, his love, his goodness." I promise you, no one gets bored there experiencing the wonder of God. And in this lifetime, it is a glorious thing to have your heart filled with the wonder of God. As we gaze at the heavens, an unending universe with billions of galaxies, a billion stars in every galaxy, as we look at the beauty of the earth, the animals, the plants, the birds, the fish, the ocean, the seas, the rivers, the streams, everything in this world opens our heart to the wonder of who God is. He's wonderful. And then the prophetic word was, his name is Counselor. Pastor Judy Brown, one of the greatest counselors I've ever known. Counsel as a Christian comes as we feed off of God's word, and the Holy Spirit anoints our life to give instruction and give input and guidance to others. But the greatest counselor you'll ever know is Jesus Christ. And by the power of his Spirit, he lives inside of you. I just want you to know, whatever you're going through today, whatever kind of confused reality, God has a plan for your life in this moment. God has a solution. God has a counsel that can't be defeated. And he is for you. His name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Oh, the Omnipotent God. He is on the throne. He is undefeated. He is undefeatable. The God that you love and know is so mighty in power. He is so awesome in power. There's no ending to the realms of his grace, his glory, his power, his greatness. And he is awesome. And may this generation awaken to the significant revelation of how great our God is. We don't have to blow people up in the streets to shout our God's great. We just have to encounter him in the intimacy of worship, in the beauty of creation, in the dynamic of his word, by the walking, by a relationship in this life. Our God is mighty. He controls the universe. And then the Bible says he is the everlasting Father. He both is Father, a fathering heart for us, and perfectly representing the heart of our Father. Jesus said, if you want to know what the Father's like, just look at me. I have mirrored in my words, my behavior, my attitude, and my lifestyle who the Father is. He's the perfect image of the Father. And last but not least, the Bible says he is the Prince of Peace. Everybody say Prince of Peace. What a beautiful description of Christ. He could be the prince. He's the prince of power, prince of Jerusalem, prince of heaven, prince of Israel, prince of the body of Christ. But the Bible elevates and reveals, here's what he wants to be known as for all eternity, the Prince of Peace. Every heart that receives him receives the peace of God through him. Couple of simple points this morning. First point in your notes, God is not mad at or at war with mankind. He has made peace with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. I know that's a simple point, but I really want you to get this. Sometimes as Christians, we see, if you're not careful, defeated people crave vengeance on their enemies. And they develop a theology where God will destroy them. But at the cross, the wrath of God against our sin was put on Jesus, not on our enemies. And you have to get this. God's not at war. He's not at war with mankind. He's in love with mankind. And that's why Jesus came, to satisfy the righteous requirement of a holy God against the sinful condition of man. And Jesus, the Bible says, God made his Son become sin for us. He put my sin on Christ. He put your sin on Christ at the cross, to the point where God, the Father, for the first time in eternity, turned his back on his Son. And Jesus cried out, God, where are you? My God, why have you forsaken me? That's what sin did to Jesus. God's judgment against sin happened 2,000 years ago. And God's not at war with mankind. And I just want you to know, there's no sin in your life bigger than God's grace for your life. There's no sin that Jesus didn't die to forgive. Couple of verses in your Bible, in Luke chapter 2, the shepherds are visited by angels because the party got started and God wanted more people in on it. But verse 11 says, as they're verse 10, they said, the angel said to the shepherds, don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Everybody shout great joy, which will be to all people. Say all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped up in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, the heavens ripped open, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, the angels got it. God was expressing nothing but his good will toward mankind. Isn't that awesome? See, you can tell what's in the heart of someone. You can tell what kind of attitude they have toward you or toward others by what they do. God has shown us in Christ his goodwill toward us. And they said, finally, gloriously, permanently, peace on earth. As long as the earth remains, there'll be wars, rumors of wars, difficulties, strifes, divisions, all of those things. But none of those things have the power to take your peace. God has made peace with mankind through Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest news anyone can hear. That God's not mad at you. God's madly in love with you. And at the cross, God made his peace with you. And he wants you to know his son. In Ephesians chapter 2, the same revelation of God's peace to us. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Whew. Everybody say, Jesus is my peace. See, God doesn't love you, bless you, heal you, and anoint you because you're so good. God loves you, blesses you, heals you, and anoints you because he's so good. And God looks at you through the lens of his son. I'm righteous because it was a gift given to me in Christ. And when Papa God looks at me, he sees me through the bloodstained lenses of his son. I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed, I'm delivered, I'm healed because of Jesus, who is my peace. He himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation. A couple of things. There's no longer a Gentile church and a Jewish church. There's a one church. That's something beautifully happening in these last days. Having abolished, in verse 15, in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and to those that were near, the Jews and the Gentiles, and brought, for through him we both have access to one Spirit by the Father. You're no longer therefore strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Jesus came preaching peace. Turn to someone, say peace. Come on, let's say it like the kids say. Turn to someone, say peace out, man. Tell them that. Okay. Peace. Peace. So the message of the cross is God's made peace with you. Receive Jesus and receive God's peace. Receive Jesus and receive God's forgiveness. Receive Jesus and receive the life you were born to live, the relationship you were made to have, the purpose you were created to discover. It's all in Jesus. He's made peace with us. God, thank you, Jesus, for your peace. Thank you, God, that you've settled the issue. In Galatians chapter 3, the Bible talks about this extraordinary moment. In verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, the word enmity is used three times. Enmity is the most hostile kind of hatred. It's enmity is when people, Americans don't understand it too much, but you go to some places in the world where there's generational enmity between nations or tribes or races or families that have lasted, centuries. And you're born taught a hatred. And here's what the Bible says. The law, the purpose of the law was not to give you another pathway to God. The purpose of the law was to convict you and to tell you, you have no way to getting to God. So that when grace showed up, you would receive it with such joy. Oh, thank you, God. For grace gives me what the law could not give me. The law convicted me so grace could forgive me. And the enmity that the law brought against me was settled in the heart of God. God's not upset with you. He's not mad with you. He's for you. And Jesus is the proof, the evidence. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was the punishment for not keeping it. It was sickness, disease, mental disorders, family disruptions, economic collapse. All, there's a whole chapter about the curse of the law. So many different things. And I just want to tell you, by the blood of Christ, you've been rescued. You've been redeemed from every punishment of the law, every punishment of being guilty. It's all, every curse is broken. The blessing of God is so superior to the cursing of the law. And in Christ, God calls you blessed and not cursed. Blessed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed it is the one who hangs upon the tree, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, and that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. God broke the curse so he could release the blessing. Someone shout, I'm blessed. Someone shout, the curse is broken. Yeah, the only power a curse has in your life is when you lend your agreement to it. You break your agreement with every lie ever spoken about you, your family, your future, etc. The devil's a liar. My last point today, a two-point sermon that only happens at Christmas here. It's because we have peace with God that we can live in the peace of God. Now, there are lots of Christians that have a relationship with Christ through the cross, that are saved, born again, going to heaven, but aren't living in the full blessing, the dynamic inheritance of God's peace. So the God who's at peace with you wants you to live with his peace governing your life. And we'll talk about this for just a moment. In John chapter 14, Jesus said to us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace." Whose peace is it? It's the peace of Jesus. "My peace I give to you." His peace was so powerful, it rebuked a storm. His peace was so powerful, he slept in a hurricane, in a boat. He slept through the storm, peace so powerful. His peace so powerful, it calmed the raging waves. His peace so powerful, it drove demons out of people's souls. His peace so powerful, the devil could not rattle him with fear or anxiety. His peace so powerful, wherever he went, he brought the government of God. Wherever God's kingdom is reigning, the peace of God will be ruling. And when God's peace is ruling, the kingdom is reigning. The Prince of Peace, and he said, "I give you my peace, not like the world gives do I give to you." Ouch. I've had a couple of folks over the years give stuff to the church and a few months later want it back. I'm like, okay, we thought you meant to give that to us. They come and take it back, and that can happen in all of life. Ever had someone want their gift back? This is a funny story. Mary and I led our neighbors to Christ, and we lived in Orange County. And back then, 30 plus years ago, there was a little tiny area of Orange County that was a ghetto. That's where we lived, downtown Santa Ana. And our next door neighbors were drug dealers and gang members. And the other next door neighbors were two widows. And we led our gang bangers to Christ. The guy was about 6'8", about 400 pounds. The woman was about 5'8", about 95 pounds. She was 10 times tougher than him. Yeah. So this is a funny thing. We moved into the house. Mary and I are innocent in so many things. And praise God, our kids have instructed us in all the cultural modern tees. And anyways, the only thing I won't do is get jeans with holes in my knees. I'm sorry. I want to be cool, but not that cool. My knees have wrinkles in them. A few years ago, it might have been okay. But nobody wants to be staring at the old man's wrinkly knee while I'm preaching the gospel. What did Pastor preach on? I don't know. I couldn't get past his wrinkly knee, and I was just staring. It was like talking to me the whole service. It was really gross. We led this couple to Christ. They were saved, so saved. We moved to this house, and so we had this flower in our backyard. It was almost 6 foot high, as high as me. And so we brought him over and said, "Hey, is this a weed or a flower? Because we don't want to pull it if it's valuable." And they said, "Oh, you know what that is? Something you need to give to us." So apparently it was a 6 foot tall marijuana plant growing right in our little backyard. And he said, no, we'll take care of it. We threw it away. So we brought in a church after they got saved, and the church we were going to then, I was a worship leader, hadn't had anybody saved in 100 years. And so the pastor was, so excited. It was a Christmas time like this. He said, Mike, please let your friends give their testimony. Here they came up, the big gangsters, you know, they were so excited. They were so happy. And they said, we're just so excited, Pastor. Mike and Mary led us to Christ. And they got excited. And the more excited they got, the more their language reversed to the more profanity. So at the first S-bomb, I was okay. Oh, that's not. Then we moved to other. By the third F-bomb, I was going to faint. The whole church was needing a inner healing. But they were just excited. And anyways, they gave me a beautiful guitar. And I was so very excited about it. Because it was, so about a month after they gave to me, they sheepishly knocked on my door. It was Alvarez. It was a whiter it was almond kind of colored. But they, you know, their friend told him it was like worth $5,000. So they knock at my door. Pastor Micah, could we please have our guitar back? Because they found out Jesus said, everything I ever give you, I'll never ask back from you. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. God never changes his mind about who he's called you to be and what he's called you to do. Amen. It's up to us to discover, to discern, to express, to fulfill, to fully realize the potential of our gifts. A couple more verses. Isaiah says, you will keep men and women in perfect peace, this great Hebrew, peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Jesus said in John 16, another great verse about peace, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Everybody shout peace. So Jesus said, I've got the peace. Stay close to me. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Thipless is the Greek word for tribulation. It means pressure. It was used to squeeze grapes into wine, olives into olive oil. It's a pressure, squeezing pressure. The greatest weapon the devil has against mankind is pressure. God's solution is peace. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've deprived the world of its advantage over you, and I give you the secret of my peace to conquer the pressure of this world. See, pressure makes people do things they wouldn't do, they shouldn't do. Pressure exposes what's in us. Pressure has all these consequences. And here's what Jesus said, my peace is more powerful than the world's pressure. My peace. I just want to say to someone today, peace to you. Peace to you, precious ones. Peace over your life. The peace of God. The peace of Christ. The government of God is so much more powerful than anything you'll face in this world. Last scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry about nothing. Pray about everything and live in peace. When problems go up, when prayers go up, peace comes down. Peace fills the void where anxiety once resided when you give your cares to God in prayer. Okay? And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. What does that mean? God's peace is greater than your reason, your logic, your comprehension. So you may have many reasons. See, I was talking to someone this morning. They said, you know, all these things are happening and I'm just handling it peacefully, trusting God. But my unsaved friends are like freaking out. I said, what a great example. Because you have the same problems, but God's peace is governing you. And often in life, listen to me, don't give yourself a legitimate excuse to live in anxiety. Okay? Because peace is more powerful. Then it said, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard, will sentinel your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Just picture this. God's peace is this massive soldier. It's a powerful weapon standing at the door of your soul. And when God's peace is in place, it determines what gets in. So when Mr. Worry comes walking up and says, who are you? I'm Mr. Worry. No, you can't come in. The peace of God will govern your heart and mind. Heart and mind. Govern what gets in. Okay? Once it gets in, the peace of God will kick it out. Y'all with me? You don't necessarily need to disown your family members, but you need to disown the anxiety that's trying to come to you because of them. Peace doesn't come in our life because we find a better place. Peace makes the place we're at better. Okay, peace is your weapon. Jesus, they woke him up. He was sleeping in the storm. Sleeping in the storm. Come on, how cool is that? And they wake him up, not with the request, but with the accusation. Master, don't you care that we're perishing? They wake him up. He wakes up. He evaluates everything. He says, oh boy. So he stands up. He looks out into the unseen world. Recognize that spiritual warfare often is the genesis of anxiety and depression. And you tell the devil, back off, Jack. You take authority. You bind the unseen world and you heal the seen world. He said, he rebuked the winds. He looked down at the waves and said, peace. In Jesus' name, I declare no weapon formed against you can prosper. I bind the devil's assault against your mind. Every fiery dart, every demonic spirit, I declare them bound. And I loosen God's peace over your life in the name of Christ Jesus. Everywhere you go, a person with peace will always be a person with authority. A person with peace will always be a person that's attractive to others. A person with peace will always be a person expanding the territory of the kingdom of God. Your peace doesn't come because the storm leaves. Peace is not the consequence of troubles and storms leaving. Peace is the power that gives you authority to live in rest during storms and during troubles. Don't wait for things to change before you get better. Don't wait for everything to get better. Oh, live with peace. It's your gift. It's God's gift. My peace I give you. Jesus said, now put it to work. Remember I talked about the shoes of peace. Pick up your shoe and let the devil have it. Stand your ground and believe in the goodness of God. This morning, God, I thank you. Of all the remarkable gifts you've given us in the cross, we honor, we celebrate peace. How precious it is, how beautiful it is, how necessary it is. I pray for my friends today, peace. I pray for anyone that's been going through an exaggerated season of intense mental or emotional upheaval or anxiety. I bind the devil's assault against you. And I declare that this church will be known around the world where people with mental diseases are cured by the power of Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's Jesus. Come on, it's Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to say a prophecy, then I'm going to pray. I want to pray for this young girl right here, Katie.